When love is a methodology, it's not love. Say what? I'll explain on this edition of Key Life.
You're listening to Key Life, practical principles for daily living. I'm Mike Kellogg, and our teacher is Steve Brown. Now, let's study the Bible together. Steve?
Thank you, Mike. We're looking at the prophet Jeremiah this week and probably into next week as I become your tour director, taking you to some very special places in the book of Jeremiah. I had said last week that we're going on to Lamentations, but I decided this is a big book, and it deserves more time than I had given it in 2 or 3 weeks. So we're going to take another week or two in Jeremiah. We have no particular goal in mind here. We're simply going on and doing what is necessary and doing it adequately before we move on to the next book. But at any rate, I decided to spend some more time. And this week, and maybe into next week, we're talking about that extremism, and this is playing on a statement that was made by Barry Goldwater a long time ago. Extremism, if it's in the right direction, is an asset, not a liability. And yesterday we saw that Jeremiah is probably the most personal of all the prophets, and I read from a couple of passages to show you that. Now let me show you something else. Personal, but also very human. And I said, I ended the broadcast yesterday, and some of you weren't listening, and I do know your names. I said at the end of the broadcast that we need to pray. This is a statement from a friend of mine. Need to pray for the strong because they are very weak. You know the best gift that a congregation can give a pastor? Allowing him or her to be human. That's so very important. We put them on pedestals, and we worship at those pedestals, and may God have mercy on any pastor who ever shows that he or she is human. That's not cool. That's why pastors are burning out. You ought to read some of the letters I get. That's why pastors are burning out all over the country. I have been so thankful for the churches where I've served, because they allowed me to be human. I remember one time blowing up at an elders meeting. In fact, there was a young elder there who started backing up and hit the lamp. He said he didn't know pastors could get that mean. And then I decided I wasn't finished, and so I went to see them all individually. And, you know, it's one of those things that you do, man, and you just die. You blush in private, and you say, oh, God, can't I get any better? Would you make me better? I just don't want to be this way. And in fact, the man who did this is chairman of our board at Key Life now. And he was in his pajamas. I came marching into his house. He was the third one on the list, and I yelled at him. And you know what he did the next morning? As soon as I got in the office, the phone was ringing, and it was him. My dear friend, Harper Davidson. And he said, hi, slugger. He said, are you calmed down a little bit now? And I said, yeah, and I'm so ashamed. Will you forgive me? He said, nothing to forgive. I let you be human. You let me be human. He said, oh, you got to ask forgiveness of my dog, though. And he had the biggest, meanest German shepherd you've ever seen. He said when you came in, he crawled under the bed. And that's so good. That's what we've got to do with those who are our leaders. And look at Jeremiah. In fact, look throughout the Bible. You're not going to find anybody perfect there. Nobody is strong all the time. Got to pray for the strong because they are very weak. Now, let me show you something else about Jeremiah. Jeremiah shows a deep love for his people. Now you're not going to find this everywhere in Jeremiah, but you are going to find it. It doesn't happen until they get down. My friend Tony Campolo, I know. Tony defends me to his friends, and I defend him to my friends. He loved Jesus with all of his heart. It's his head that's messed up. And he says the same thing about me. I call him my left-wing pinko commie friend, and he calls me his right-wing reactionary conservative friend. So, And we did that television program for a year when we were just two old guys that wanted to show how you could disagree and love each other. Now I have to find out what in the world it was I was talking about in order to keep on going. Oh, I know. Tony, I've got to quit leaving my notes because I get lost when I do that. Tony preached a sermon right after Jim Baker had fallen, and he called it I Am Jim Baker. I told him I was so proud of him for doing that, and I'd met he and his wife Peggy in a restaurant in a hotel where I was staying, and they were trying to hide from everybody, and I showed up. Peggy, and I said, Tony, I want you to know I'm proud of you, man. And Peggy said, well, I don't. I'm not. I wish he hadn't done it. Now everybody thinks he's messing around, too. But at any rate, let me tell you what Tony said in that. He said, back in the days when Jim Baker was on top of the world, all you guys, he was talking to leaders, went down to Charlotte and you sold your books and praised him and talked about how wonderful he was. That's the time you should have been holding him accountable. And now that he's down and he's broken and he's really hurting and he really needs a friend, you don't come alongside. Well, Jeremiah's sort of like that, only he's faithful. When the people of God are doing well and they got money and armies and they think that they can do these alliances and really fix everything, Jeremiah is like ugly on an ape. Now, he doesn't want to be that way, but he is one mean prophet, and he speaks judgment, and he's angry, and he reflects God's view. But when they're broken, when they're down, when they're really hurting, Jeremiah almost sounds like a mother. I mean, he speaks God's word, and he reflects God's heart also. And you're going to find this when we get into Lamentations in a couple of weeks. We'll spend a lot more time in this. But you can find it. Whenever the people of God are in exile, Jeremiah comes along, and he speaks the message of joy and the message of comfort and the message of one who loves his people greatly. Flip over, if you will, to the 29th chapter of Jeremiah. And you got to remember, this is the first letter, by the way, that Jeremiah wrote to the exiles. Listen to what he says. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons. Give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished, and seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it is its peace. You will have peace, for thus says the Lord of hosts. And then look at the 10th verse. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. When you will call upon me and go and pray to me, I will listen to you. Remember that comedy album with Cosby? When his mother shows up to spend time with his children. And Cosby said, that's not the same woman I grew up with. Well, I've got children now. I bet our daughters say, that's not the same father I grew up with. There's a way you get kind of warm and fuzzy when you get around grandchildren. Well, Jeremiah, you have the tendency after reading all this judgment and this anger and this wrath to say, that's not the same Jeremiah that I... That's not the same Jeremiah that I knew before. And we're going to see a lot more, as I said, when we get into the book of Lamentations. But please note that the deep, extreme love of Jeremiah for his people. We're always saying you got to love people, you never win them to Christ. And so we learn to fake love so we can get another scalp on our belt. Let me tell you something, that's wrong. Let me tell you where I was. I was flying back from New York yesterday, day before yesterday. And I was sitting next to a wonderful lady. She's an African-American lady, graduate of law school, and her mom had died a year before. And I, you know, I don't witness much on airplanes because I tell God, you know, if we get in trouble, it's not good for somebody who's just talked about Jesus to start screaming. I mean, it can really blow the witness. So put me either by Christians or by people who don't want to talk. Well, she wanted to talk, and we had a delightful time. Now, in order to understand the scenario I'm describing to you, you've got to understand that I'm to the right of Genghis Khan. If you've been listening to this broadcast very long, you know that I am extremely, extremely conservative. Well, let me tell you about this lady. She was sweet. I liked her. She reminded me of one of my daughters. But she was extremely liberal. And she said things that when I was younger, I would have absolutely gone ballistic over. But you know something that happened to me? I found myself really caring, really loving her, and not yelling. And I prayed about it later. And I said, where did that come from? And he said, me. Wasn't you. You don't have it in you. You can't love until you've been loved. And then you can only love to the degree to which you have been loved. You think about that. I'm in. Hey, if you're not a part of our Key Life Tape family, I'd love you to be a part of it. Let me tell you how it works. Once you give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, or you write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you email us, steve@keylife.org, with your regular mailing address, and ask to be a part of our Key Life Tape family. We will make you a part. Thereafter, as long as supplies last, you'll get a tape every 7 or 8 weeks. Now, these are not the tapes of the broadcast. These are tapes of places where I teach the Bible, Reformed Seminary where I teach, or at the Billy Graham Training Center, or at a missions conference, or a Bible conference, and we send those out to our Tate family. And if you'd like to be a part of it, just let us know, and I'll do it for you. When I say they're free, I really mean that. But if you could help us financially, I sure would appreciate it. Now, all of you can't do that, but pray about it. And if you're supposed to help us, be as generous as you can, because you help so many others when you help us. And for any contribution of any size when you request it, I'll send you the cassette, Teaching Forgiven and Forgotten, How to Deal with the Problem of Guilt and Experience True and Lasting Forgiveness. Hey, be sure and give us the call letters of the station when you write. And, oh yes, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.